So I'm going to call this committee study session to order for the City Council Technology Committee. We're going to do roll call first. So Council Member Labaca here. Council Member Burns.
Here.
And so here.
I'm here.
And we have Bill Chambers, our IT director.
Here.
Here. Cool. So I'm looking for an approval of the agenda.
A motion to approve. Motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, approvals of the agenda is complete. So now we're looking for an approval of the minutes from February 17th, 2022. Do I have a motion?
I just wanted to note that there are some typos in there that I found and fixed some minor ones, a couple of misspelled words and things like that, but no substantive changes.
Then yeah, I'll approve the minutes for, put a motion forth to approve the minutes from February 17, 2022.
I'll second that.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, minutes are approved. So now we'll go into the agenda. The first item we have is the IT director succession plan. And I'll hand this over to Bill.
All right. So since the last meeting, we kind of discussed what the committee's role would be. And we decided that basically it would be in identifying a framework for the IT succession planning. And I kind of fleshed out some of those things that it would include. And kind of a big one is a purpose. Why do we need a succession plan in the first place? You know, do we have qualified people ready to fill positions for short term, for long term? And you know, what kinds of things the succession plan will do for us in creating a smooth transition when key individuals leave, and ensuring business continuity, encouraging strong, prepared source of future leaders, reduce employee turnover, and could mean less reliance on external placement companies like Prothman and some others. So in the end, it'll save us money by having that in place. The second item was identifying the key positions. And that's pretty easy to do in the IT department since there's only two of us. But in reality, you know, both team members are pretty key. But for this purpose, we'll focus on the IT director position for the succession plan, mainly because I'm planning to retire soon. So I think it makes the most sense to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, if you guys do.
On this framework, is this a template that could be applied to other departments, or do other departments have a template like this?
It varies. I know that this and the 5-year strategic plan templates are both things that I believe Richie Coleman, the intern, is working on. He's helping out the police department right now. That's kind of the first big one. And I'm hoping that that we can kind of use some of those things to do this. So this is really just a kind of a broad framework here that hopefully he'll be able to help us flesh out a little more detail.
Yeah, it does seem like if we can come up with a standardized template,
mm-hmm.
it can be reused, because in the finance meeting, Mark Freiberger also talked about looking at least a 1-year
mm-hmm.
Prep period of posting, looking for a position to fill for succession.
Yep. It'll so. Kind of keep us from reinventing the wheel mm-hmm. for each department too. Yeah. So I think that's a great idea. So basically, just to touch on these, identifying the key positions, identifying a possible successor, and then identifying the job requirements. You know, that's pretty key to getting a good plan in place.
Is that one going to be covered in the study that we're completing?
that's going to be part of it. And I just actually finished up updating the job descriptions for both Woody and myself for that purpose. So that'll help move this along as well. Yeah, if my job description hadn't been updated since 2010. So
lots changing story. We're still using the typewriter.
I think there was a typewriter in the finance department.
We were worried about
get the ribbon.
Let's see. So building competencies. That's and a big part of that is setting up an individual development plan for whoever that candidate is. Or candidates, it could be multiple, to make sure that they've got the training they need to at least qualify to apply for the position. And then, of course, assessing progress, making sure that after the plan is implemented, that we have a way of finding out if what components are working well. And what others aren't.
Is there a specific time length that you think would work best to bring somebody on and then kind of train them up? And then, do you think that should be part of the plan or just a policy?
I think we talked about 6 months the last meeting. Mm-hmm. And, I think that's probably realistic. A year, I think, is too long, but it really depends on what kind of training they need, what kind of, if the requirements are that somebody has a master's degree or a bachelor's degree and the person, candidate, doesn't even have an associate's. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. It's not going to work out. Or you need to go and modify the what your expectations are for the job. So, does that sound reasonable to you guys?
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about, and I know it doesn't, we mentioned it doesn't quite fit maybe in this round, but having at least something set aside in case there was a dual accident or something that happened, mm-hmm. like a screen-o-matic preview on, oh, this is how you would do this in case these people, not with every single aspect of the job, mm-hmm. but the key elements that are critical to function of the city. So somebody coming in, if we have to hire or sub out an IT person and they're going in, okay, well, what do you guys do? Where do we start? There is that starting point and a couple of those key functions in there to get mm-hmm. them. Okay, I'm getting, at least I'm kind of comfortable on a certain brush. Might save the company or save the city a lot of money. Might save the city a lot of money versus trying to hire an expertise in that field to come in who's got a lot more experience. If we can get somebody who's pretty good and then works through the training platforms that are there.
Even if it's a temporary thing, just for disaster preparedness,
mm-hmm.
It's probably a good idea to include a component like that in there.
That'd be cool.
Makes sense. Joe, anything from the cloud?
Actually, I like what I hear so far. I think it's a great idea to have a succession plan, especially laying out all of the job duties and what it takes to train somebody for it. I know from my previous experience that if you don't have someone who knows all the steps to the job, it ends up becoming quite a mess when someone leaves. So this is a great idea for us to start working on, especially with you planning on retiring in the near future.
Yeah, I kind of wish we would have had a good succession plan for a couple of recent positions, key ones that staff has had to do a lot of legwork just to find things that weren't included in that transition. And so I think, yeah, this would help everyone from the bottom to the top.
So as far as the next steps go, where would you like to go on this? You want to keep working on kid development?
I would like to kind of touch bases with Richie and see where he's at. on that and see if this kind of fits in with what his plan is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd also like to do that for the 5-year technology strategic plan as well.
Okay. Was there anything else you wanted to add before we move on?
Not to that one, though.
Okay. Everybody else good? Moving to the next one?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. So, Bill, we'll touch base on the next technology committee meeting after you have a chance to talk to Richie. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay. Cool. So we'll move on to the 5-year technology strategic plan.
For this one, the framework should include establishing a steering committee. And in our last meeting, we discussed the possibility of developing the strategic plan jointly with the technology advisory group. I think that'd be a great idea, but I think it would be good to have that template in place before kind of joining those teams and starting the process. Second item would be reviewing the conditions, get an inventory of the current systems and current future needs and try to focus on needs that support the council's vision and goals in our community. So there's going to be a lot of identified needs out there, I'm sure. But if we can prioritize the ones that specifically support council goals, I think that would be a really wise thing to do. Mm-hmm. Next item was interviewing the key individuals. This is, I think, where the tag group, which is already set up, would be really helpful because each of those members are already kind of been selected as key technology users within the departments. There may be a few additional ones to that, but I think that's a good core to start with. And then analyzing the data, looking at the inventory once that's collected, and evaluating against the current and future needs. And then prioritizing the components of the plan. And this is where the council goals, I think, and vision would come in prioritizing those components.
And one of the members of TAG was from finance, right? Debbie Burton?
Yes.
Okay.
And Kelly will be, I'm assuming, will be substituting for her when Debbie leaves. So,
okay.
Which is Kelly's first day is tomorrow.
<She's starting. laughs> Cool. I would think that'd be a big component of it is with the 2-year budget cycle. We have the 5-year plan. We've got 2 segments of that.
Yeah, and so, the financial software is going to be a big part of that. I mean, we're not really happy. I'm sure you've heard that from other staff, including Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to look at something that's a little more robust, which means more money. But what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I need it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kelly seems like she comes with a lot of experience with that stuff too. In auditing, you see all the different companies and or all the different cities and what they do, mm-hmm. and different softwares they use and what works and what is frustrating from an auditor's point. So she's probably got some favorites, I would imagine. And there are some ideas on what that would look like. That'd be cool.
Yeah. As far as the council goals section of that, when do you think would be the best time to start gathering what goals align with the technology?
I think that, don't recall, but were you guys working on revamping those goals kind of as a follow-up to the strategic planning session?
I requested that we meet again on the 1st of June for a opportunity of discussion. Mm-hmm. I think the first one was a really good opportunity for us to learn how those work, but it didn't give us an opportunity for really like the council having discussion and like walking away with like, oh, here's some goals, things that won't work, so but pursuing them, and things that might work, so maybe pick them up in the future, something mm-hmm. like that, something mm-hmm. that's like, and I think that would help out the mayor in a great way too, just to understand what the temporary climate is and understand what the goals are. So I think that's a great opportunity to kind of help establish those.
Mm-hmm.
I think I, as you know, I would love to see like that interactive software for our website where you got the parks and recreation and you can touch it and move it and finances, visual data charts and all that. That's probably way above what we would realistically do. Mm-hmm. It's like knowing when where to pull back, what the goals are, and then supporting the team on the overall goal future of what we want to do.
Yeah, that's kind of why I did the facilities map as kind of a baby step to, yeah. It's like, okay, here now we've at least got a map where people can click on stuff and you know, follow links to the information. Yeah, that's probably going to mean a different web platform than the content management system that we've got now.
That's actually what I was just going to ask you.
Limited scope of what we can do.
Joe, you're really quiet.
Oh, sorry, I'll speak up. Bill, on that point, is that something that's going to be substantially more expensive if we switch platforms that we're using to host the website?
He's asking if it would be more expensive and to switch to a platform to support more activity on a cloud, to support more data input and output. So I would imagine, yeah. Significantly for something of that kind of nature, what we would do.
But there may be some things.
Okay. Can you hear me any better?
Oh, yeah. Much better. There may, okay. Joe, there may be some things depending on what financial platform we go to, like financial software system, that may have some dynamic reporting tools that can be embedded in our website. So, you know, that's a possibility.
Okay, really? I see.
It would kind of come out of that strategic planning meeting, but it would be cool to kind of, we've honed in a little bit on that historical feel, to hone a little bit more in on our technologically advanced community feel, you know, because we're doing a lot. We've got a lot of great engineers, a lot of great minds in the community, and we see them doing stuff and kind of like that kind of be the representation from the website when they come to visit. Hey, what's Cedar Woolley like? And they're like, whoa. And then they come here and they also see that. So it kind of goes hand in hand. If we, thinking Eureka? No. Maybe I watch too much TV.
Yes, as long as we still have that, you know, approach that like newspapers have with that eighth grade level you know, just to make sure that we're not meeting the needs of the people that aren't technically savvy.
Yeah. So. I find that technology today is actually more simpler than it was 10 years ago. And even when I was first learning the computer, first getting into it, it's like, now it's like everything's, and especially with touchscreen, and you can just like really kind of get in and it makes a lot, the logic is there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, okay. So like my mom, she got into it. My stepdad, he's into it. And it's like people I would have never assumed, you know, would ever pull their nose out of a book and actually open up an electronic device. They're like, oh yeah, look at my phone and my pictures. Oh, I didn't know you were doing that. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, we can pick Apple for most of that.
I don't know, Steve. I don't know.
Okay. So it sounds like next steps for this one are going to be working with the tag group.
Yeah,
having a template with Richard kind of formulated, and then we can start, once we get our strategic goals updated, we can bring those to
that. That would be great. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So are you ready to move on to the next one?
I am. Joe, you ready?
I'm good.
Okay. Awesome. So we'll go to the next which is security assessments. Let Bill take over.
Okay, and I did meet with Aaron Laska virtually today from the state auditor's office to get an overview of the IT security performance audit that they offer. Unfortunately, they're about 2 to 3 years out for, which, you know, isn't that bad if you're doing it every other year, mm-hmm. but, and some some organizations do drop off of their list. So I got on the list make sure that we're there. And she was really cool. She just lives up in Bellingham. And I told her, says, yeah, I didn't know how I missed this. I wasn't even aware that you offered it. You know, I knew that you had, you know, the financial audits and the kind of organizational procedural audits, things like that. But I wasn't aware of those. So really appreciate you pointing that out.
It just came up on the last financial audit on one of the websites that they were showing.
I guess I better read that. I'll post it.
Awesome. And that was free, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They've got two options. They've got the kind of the standard IT security performance audit, and then they've got a ransomware preparedness audit. That's a separate thing too, but both are free. And I figured it made sense to do the kind of general IT security performance audit for us, since it's the first one.
Yeah.
They'll be gathering a lot of information for that. And I'm going to follow up with Woody to research and evaluate some continual scanning services. That might be a good fit. She said there's also a free one out there, and she's going to send me a link to that. It's one that some other cities use. So, I think we're moving in the right direction there. We just need to, in using some of these outside services, we just need to make sure that we're careful not to violate any of our CGIS requirements for security. So that's the only main concern.
And what does CGIS stand for again?
That's the Criminal Justice Information System. And they're, you know, all those looking up arrest history and driver's licenses and all that stuff through that system.
Do we have a way to do baselines too as part of the security assessment before we do like a third party one? Where
I think they do. I haven't seen the details of what she sent me yet because I just got the email this afternoon. But I'll look at that. And I'm sure that they do. And they have a really good, formal process that they use that basically ends in a public hearing, you know, during a council meeting, that where they provide a kind of a report to council and staff and the citizens, and anything that's you know, if there are any specific needs that aren't really shareable to the public, they'll do that in executive session. So, but generally, you know, the focus is to try to get you in a place where you're not, they don't do compliance, but to make sure that you're meet the minimum requirements that they have. So.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any frameworks that we have to adhere to as like a municipality or someone who receives federal money, like NIST 800 or?
You know, there's some basic framework for some of our banking stuff, but as far as federal grants, I'm not aware of any. Could be that, you know, Debbie might be aware of some, but we haven't really gotten any grants outside of law enforcement side, and they're already subjected to the CGIS requirements. So I think it's assumed that they're going to, you know, be compliant with any federal grant monies that are related to law enforcement or fire EMS.
Okay. Do you guys have any other questions?
I was actually just curious if we do a backup for the cases of ransomware.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I figured, but.
Yeah. And for people who just, you know, click delete.
Whoops, drag and drop that
folder. I'm sure that happens.
Yeah, and then empty trash.
Yeah, of course.
It happens. And actually, Woody's working on that right now. He's kind of revamping our backup strategy just to kind of make that a little more resilient.
Okay. Do we have a policy on ransom payment in the city?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, some cities have like a zero, like, they posted that we have a zero tolerance for a payment. Like, I don't know if that's something that.
That might be worth looking into. And I'm not sure if that would come through the city clerk's purview, or if it would be something from IT. I'm not sure.
Okay.
That might be a question for Nikki.
Gotcha.
I'll ask her.
Okay.
About that.
You guys,
that had crossed.
Oh, go ahead, Joe.
Sorry, that had crossed my mind, as well as whether we had insurance for such an occasion, because I believe that was another option.
Yeah, I know there are some basic insurance, but yeah, that the last time I looked at any of that, it was when Patsy Nelson was still our finance director. She was handling the insurance side of that, and I can find out. I'll check with Debbie to see if she knows of anything. Because they generally have requirements, you know, a certain level of security requirements that they demand to even insure you. Mm. And if I remember correctly, the level of insurance gets really expensive. You know, the lower you are on that security threshold, I guess.
I see. So it's probably better for us to just have a zero tolerance policy where we say up front, we won't pay a penny, so don't bother.
And good backups.
Yep.
Yep. You're only as good as your last backup.
Yeah, that sounds like a better plan and a cheaper one.
Yeah, you missed the good t-shirt slogan a little while ago.
What's that?
Oh, we were talking about websites and tracking you, and I said, well, if you accept the cookies, you have to drink the milk.
Nice.
Okay, are we all good on security assessments? So it sounds like you were able to get on the list, at least for the next 2 years, 3 years.
That's a start, and okay. We'll kind of review what they send us and see if maybe there's something that we can do in the interim, because I'm not sure it's going to be 3 years. I'm not sure that we want to be waiting 3 years. Yeah. We might, you know, there might be a service that they could recommend that will give us the baseline data that maybe they can use when they do theirs. You know, they may have partners in the industry that could use kind of the same process.
Okay. So what would be the cost on one of those in an average? Do we know? And then also, so you get the baseline and then you have to follow up. So that would be an additional cost. I mean, I know that's like shooting into a ballpark, but.
Yeah, it's really hard to say, but I would say upwards of 10,000. So, I mean, for a cheap one,
mm-hmm.
anything anymore is 10 grand.
We use one at work that I
think great. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like that would be a cost benefit for the city for sure. All the citizens, which I think feel a little bit more protected. If I mean, it'd be value added to our community.
Yeah. Okay. Are you guys good to move on to the next one?
Sure. Joe?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. So the next one is the technology advisory group. So would you like to go over the last meeting?
Sure. So I included the full minutes from the last TAG meeting in here, and I'll just kind of go over those just to summarize what we discussed. So basically, this group is, you know, has kind of tech savvy members from each department within the city, and we the purpose of the group was to help kind of identify and evaluate and deploy systems that would mesh with everything else that the city's doing with other departments, and make sure that each individual department wasn't just building systems that weren't going to be compatible with others. In the review of the current projects, we talked about the SIM cemetery information management system, and I don't know if any of you have gotten feedback from finance on that, but they seem to like it. There's a few issues with some of the data import that we've been able to work around. That was mainly due to the old ASP financial system not having any constraints in it. So a lot of the data was entered in the wrong fields, or not at all, because there weren't any constraints that says, yeah, this can't be blank. So yeah, so it is what it is. They were able to bring in the lion's share of it and have been using the system. The finance department's been developing, you know, kind of updating their processes so that they're sure to get the work orders out to the field in a timely manner. And pretty good. And then there's the iWork permitting, which John wasn't at the last TAG meeting. And he was kind of put that on hold until they got the permit tech position filled. They've got that filled now. Katie's kind of getting up to speed. So I would guess they're going to start moving on that pretty soon. Debbie mentioned that the link with Express Bill Pay is already set up. So the online payment for permits should work pretty seamlessly once they get that going. ClearGov, that was Debbie had proposed. And with her leaving, she's just going to leave that up to Kelly, whether she, Kelly, new finance director. Yeah, got to get the name right. To Kelly, to choose whether she's going to do that one or not. I think it's real specific to helping out the finance department and doing some of their annual reporting and stuff. Electronic timesheets, all done. There were some bumps with some groups. Leo's group specifically had some troubles with it. A lot of user error. So additional training kind of helped fix that. And just net time, people using it regularly now. But it's much better than it was. A lot less transcribing for Janine to do. A lot less mistakes as a result. Mm-hmm. Then the accounts payable processing system, was completed and it's been working great. A few problems with people moving files and file permissions changing as a result. Woody was able to work on that and get it resolved. Saves a lot of time and a lot of paper. Everything's pretty much digital now for invoicing approval. And the facilities campground reservation system. Nathan said all the kinks were worked out. Debbie said the work process changes in finance are helping. And the only thing was that because our RV camp host is not real tech savvy, he's still kind of printing out reservations for the RV park.
Is that the riverfront?
Mm-hmm. But there are only about 25 a year, I guess he said, that reserve. most people just show up and get their spot. And I think those 25 are right around Lager Rodeo time. So WIMS wastewater management system, no report, but since this meeting, I've talked with Casey, and they are done. They're just kind of working out a few minor reports that are giving them numbers that they're not expecting. They're fixing that now. And SCADA update is also done. The Woody's working on the Bitwarden password management system. Right now, we're just basically using that in finance and for some of our key financial passwords for parallels for Springbrook, things like that. The Council Chamber's AV upgrade, based on our last meeting, we've been focusing on the video, and I've actually been looking at some monitor mounts that hang from the ceiling with dual monitors, so that we could have one on either side with monitors this way and monitors out that way. And I think that would be a good first step and not very expensive. It's something that we can do internally.
Yeah.
With the help of Nathan for mounting. They won't let me use a screwdriver or a knife or saw. So, which
ever
is good.
That one accident.
Yeah. There's a hole right up there in the wall. You see under that camera up there, there's a little patch.
Little.
Yeah, that was me.
Well, that does sound like a neat way to do it.
Yeah, I think that's a good low-tech way, and a good way to use some of our existing cabling that we've got. So these displays that are on the walls will come down. We may or may not leave the projector. The quality of the picture compared to these big screen LED are just, there's no comparison.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy. And the lighting in here, you have to basically have the lights out before it really shows up well. I don't know if you guys have tried to see anything on there.
But it's kind of a weird one too, because you have to turn, everybody has to turn this way. It's hard to see. And then you also see from the back of the room too. So it's like, how many people are turning all the way around and see the back one. So
yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, you know, if we could have something that's looking down here, it's high enough, it's not gonna block you from anyone up here.
Yeah.
And something over here as well. We're not gonna block any cameras. We're gonna be able to see it from this side, that side, and from the audience pretty well. The only ones that wouldn't be able to see anything are the staff. So, you know, I don't know if that would mean an additional one, or maybe the one on this side would be angled in such a way that it would be facing the staff and facing the podium, the dais up here. But I think that's probably a good route to go. And then the additional component would be the getting cameras and possibly displays at each workstation, at each place where somebody sits. That's probably going to require an RFP, just because I think the dollar amount's going to be over the threshold for that. So I'll work with finance and Charlie to get that figured out.
Can you go through that for just a second? So you're saying that each council member would have a camera?
There would be, what I would really like is something that with a display with the camera at each station, so that when the person speaks, that camera's automatically activated. And so you can actually see individual faces out in the recording and out in hybrid, when we're doing hybrid, which is all the time now, that people can see your expression and reactions and stuff like that. Right now it's this little blurry bit. It's better than it was, but you can't really see who's speaking.
Gotcha.
From a distance. And it may be that that's not possible to do, but I don't see why not with the technology that we have. So
are there any cameras that have like we can mount that do a similar thing where it zooms in on
this, like the automatic ones work for small rooms. They don't work very well for big rooms or for rooms where you've got a separate audio system that, because you know the sound is coming from the speaker in the ceiling, so the camera is going to look up at that. So unless it's set to look for moving objects, and if somebody's sitting, they're not really moving.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's difficult, and we need to keep the audio system with the four channels, because that's a requirement of the courts. If we ever use the court system to record on it, so
okay.
And that's pretty much it for the council AV upgrade. We finished the Skagit conference room AV upgrades with basically these Coolio or Coolpo, I guess they're called, cameras. They're kind of like the cheap version of the Owl, but they work really well. We've got one each in the Skagit room and the training room, and put an 86 inch screen in the training room and a 52 inch, I believe, in the Skagit room. And so we can link to those wirelessly, and it's been working really well. Really like it. Microsoft 365. We completed all the license transfers, and except for the handful of users that are hosted exchange only, it's much cheaper. And basically, you guys are on hosted exchange only. So if we decide to use Microsoft Teams to do any of your meetings instead of Zoom, then we would switch you over to the full Microsoft 365 license. But Zoom seems to be a pretty good fit for the most number of people, including internal and the public.
Mm-hmm.
Teams, I think, is a little more cumbersome for people that, are used to Zoom, for one thing. And I think it's a little more difficult to establish the account and get everything set up for the normal user.
Yeah. I think Teams provides a bit more security on the conferences, something that's open to the public. It really doesn't matter whether it's somebody's looking in at, So, yeah, mm-hmm. Kind of only makes sense to go the cheaper.
And the cloud recording that's built into Zoom is really nice, too. So, kind of like that. So, we're working on rolling out the office upgrade still. We've got all the management done on that. And now moving on to the next group of mostly kind of critical support staff. And then we'll get them all rolled out. Then for the new projects that we discussed at the TAG meeting, DocuWare reboot. So, I think I mentioned that before, that I'm developing additional training and workshop and coaching for key users for using the DocuWare system. Trina has really, in finance, has really got a lot of interest in it and is using it. We need to kind of get that kind of excitement pushed out to some other departments. Web and security camera systems. Woody's been working on that. Most of the ones he's been working on recently are for the new facilities out at the wastewater and public works operations slash solid waste. the global contact list, what he's been worked on that, and he's actually finished that and pushed that out to everyone so that all of our mobile devices, including the Apple and the other systems, are all pushed out. The contacts are the same on all of them. The Microsoft Teams archiving, I got that set up. So Smarsh is now archiving all the content on our Teams platform. And we discussed a Springbrook replacement. That's gonna be something that's a huge project and is gonna be pretty expensive. So I'm not sure with Kelly coming on, you know, new, I'm not sure how long it will be before we'll even get a chance to look at that. But I think she kind of needs to get up to speed before we even broach that. And that was it. Any questions about the TAG meeting?
Seems like you guys covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's a good group. Yeah, and I really like the process for including everyone, because you just have a lot more buy-in when everyone gets a chance to put in their two cents.
Gotcha. I did have one question on the wastewater management system. Is that going to need to be upgraded when we do our major upgrade in 2026-27, or is that software going to be compatible with the changes?
The major upgrade, I don't know how much of that is actually going to be software driven, but my guess is that these it's proprietary, so I'm not really in the loop on that. My guess is that it will probably be the same software and just different implementation of it based on the hardware that it's going to be on. Yeah, the wastewater is kind of the only department that really has things that are, they contract with companies like, I can't even remember the name of it, the ones that produce winds. Anyway, they contract with these vendors and they do most of the work on it. We assist them and we you know, build the servers. If they need a new server, we upgrade key workstations and make sure that the client software is installed and assist them because of security requirements. Whenever they need to work on the server, we've got to do that and log in and monitor while they're working on the server.
Is that because it's our infrastructure, sensitive infrastructure?
Yeah. You know, water treatment plants, wastewater plants, energy grid type stuff, big targets.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I did have one question, and I think I asked the mayor about it, was a org chart.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a digital org chart of everybody?
We used to. They produced one in finance, because that's kind of the HR side of things, at least HR support.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really have an HR, as you guys well know. I don't know that, I haven't seen anything recently.
Okay.
So this is probably.
It'll probably be more of a Charlie.
Yeah. Charlie / with the help of
I just asked because on Teams, I saw somewhere that we're starting to do archiving for it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it has like a built-in, if you have your employee like org chart inside of Microsoft and the manager set out, then it can automatically kind of create one.
That'd be helpful. I wasn't aware of that. I'll have to look into that.
Okay. It's something I don't know if other council members are interested, but I like to be able to know like when I hear a name to know, okay, that person works here in the city.
Does every person have to be a part of a team? So. Yeah, yeah, so you will have several members that won't be part. Gotcha. And we have some.
Are they ranking members or?
Oh gosh, firefighters. None of our, only a handful of our firefighters have the Microsoft 365 license.
So like finance and planning.
They would all be in there. Yeah. Yeah. They might, they'd be part of the finance team,
sure,
which was just created recently. So
yeah. That'd be a good chunk.
Yeah.
You might have some blank spots on the tree, but
you might have to create some kind of dummy teams just to make sure everyone's covered.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. I think that was all we had for the agenda. We just have the next meeting date for June. Oh, that's for.
Yeah. For 10? And then I just included those insights from Facebook and Instagram, and because we had kind of talked about analytics last time, and I gave you all of them except for the one you asked for, Nick, the Gup QA. But you did ask about YouTube the YouTube channel. Last 90 days, 542 views, which is less than it was the previous 90 days, but still pretty good for the type of content that we have on there. It's not like we're posting, you know, only people like us sit down and watch a full council.
Yeah, you don't see very many 100% average view
generations
on there.
Yeah. Or if you're running for office, right, Joe?
Yeah, basically.
It's a great way to go back and look at, historical meetings and see the information. But watch time was up. So we got like 159 hours total watch time. Subscribers, we don't have a lot of subscribers to YouTube because all of the content is driven by links from our website and social media. So people click on those. There's really no need to subscribe. We do have a few subscribers, but yeah, here are 36 total subscribers. Those are the regulars to our council meetings, probably.
Yeah.
And then this last one on the LinkedIn, that's a pretty new platform for us, and we don't really use it for much more than job postings and kind of information about the city that might attract potential applicants, things like that, like our wellness events and things like that.
Definitely gives a lot of information on where to focus on if you're even looking to focus on it, right?
And this is just the overview of each of these. There's drill down on each of these that we can get a lot more data.
Is this pretty similar to the website views?
Yeah. And that is pretty much it.
I wonder if the numbers are lower because of COVID, right? People aren't just talking to science. So
like, yeah, now that everyone's, you know.
Sure, it's seasonal too. Like, hey, you can go ride a bike on a trail or we can watch shitty council meetings.
one thing I've noticed since I've been doing this since 2008 is that there, you know, people say, oh, there's only, you know, two or three people or maybe four or five on Zoom. But, you know, for most council meetings, there might be one person in the audience.
Yeah.
So that's a fivefold increase.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I really am glad that we're continuing with the hybrid just for the ability to reach people who are you know, disabled and can't make it to a meeting, or it's a real hassle for them to do so. So they can get on online and participate, then that's great.
I agree. Yep. We recently did an event and we streamed it on Facebook, and it was like there was over 600 views on Facebook. Normally there's 50 to 60 people that show up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to do it on Facebook, and I was pretty surprised at the amount of people that weigh in, just simply because they don't all get the opportunity. And I've done that a lot where I go back and look at the videos or whatnot, because it's especially running, like you were saying, like, okay, what is the city council about?
Yep.
What do they do there?
Yeah, that's a great resource. I'm glad that we're still doing the hybrid meetings, and especially the posting to YouTube is handy for just going back and referencing something from a meeting or finding out something you missed.
And I will add the GovQA analytics to the next meeting, just so that you for informational purposes, so you can see that. And do you think July would make sense for our next meeting?
Yeah, I think that would work. I mean, sure. Sometime after we have the strategic goals and the TAG meeting, and when Richard has some time to work on the two items.
Sounds good. Okay. All right. Well, I will find a date in July, and you're ready to ask to adjourn. And
okay. Is everybody good? Any last questions?
I'm good.
Okay.
Good here.
I'm good.
Thanks, Joe.
Meeting's adjourned.
Yep. Thank you, everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
You too, Joe.
I know.